Some folks can say I'm free and it wouldn't be true. But if you can say I'm free and it's true, what a great thing. Hallelujah. I want to thank everybody that's had a role in this service. And we're not finished yet. We're going to have dinner in just a little bit. And there's a lot of work that goes into that and the decorating. Let me say this. You can go ahead and turn in your scriptures to one verse, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We do a lot of things in the life of a church. We go to camp, and we have socials, and we have dinners. We do a lot of things. But if we don't have church, none of the rest of it matters. Amen? And we do a lot of things in a church service. Important things, great things. But if we don't have preaching, I'm not talking about every service, but if we don't have preaching, none of the rest of it matters. We want to hear from God. Aren't you glad we have His Word this morning? Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's Word? And we just want to pray that before we get out of here in the next few moments, somebody's life would be turned around. Amen. I noticed, as Brother Brian did, but when Brother Brad was just singing, I noticed one of our young people that got saved this week just had his hands in the air worshiping the Lord. But God's not finished with that saving stuff. He wants to save somebody in the house this morning. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, the apostle says, I don't have time to read the context or it won't take time. It says of this group of people that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. These who are taken captive by him, the devil, at his will. When you're taken captive by the devil, you're under the power of his will. I want to minister this morning from this thought, the can'ts and the cans of a captive. There's some things a captive can't do, but thank the Lord there's some things a captive can do. You can be seated this morning. I don't know about you, but when I got the news and saw the pictures of the young man held captive by North Korea, Otto Warmbier, they haunted me. Especially one of the early interviews when he was weeping and he says, please save my life. And in many of the shots that we saw, he's pale, he's tormented, he's pained. And if you look, there's an incredible sadness in his eyes. We know the story. He's near in our neighborhood from Cincinnati. And when that regime finally released him, Otto was totally ruined and destroyed as a person. He was in a vegetative state. And since then, he has passed on. But everything you would see from these photos show that Otto was a prisoner. He was a captive. He was bound. It's an awful thing what was done to this man, Otto Warmbier. And our government ought to respond in kind against that type of aggression and taking someone captive. But listen, I know this morning a captor worse than Kim Jong-un. I know a captivity worse than North Korea jail cell. I'm talking about a spiritual captor called Satan and a captivity called sin. Do you realize that so many this morning spiritually are held captive by the devil, just like Otto was held captive by North Korea? Even the only difference is you can look on the outside of this man and see that he's a prisoner. You can't see on the inside of people. But if you could see on the inside of people, you would see that they have their bondages, they have their chains, they have their fetters, they are a prisoner. And I don't want to minimize anything that he or others have went through. But did you know in the end analysis, inside captivity is far worse than outside captivity? Because there's been those who are outwardly captive who have been freed in a jail cell, saved in a jail cell. But that inside captivity is the worst of all captivities. I want us to return just just a moment to our verse of scripture and show you some ways that Satan has taken us captive. Did you know the word capture in itself means to take? Number one, it means to take, and that's often by trapping, by ensnaring. It means to take and to hold. There's always those two dimensions to capture. Amen. You're taken and then you're held. Amen. Looking at our verse, we see the devil's capture in three things. First of all, look at the verse that says that they may recover themselves. You can't just read that word and go on. You've got to study that word. And when you study the word recover, it means to come out from under intoxication. In other words, you've been drunk, you've taken drugs, your mind has been sick and dulled, and to recover means to come out from under that influence, that intoxication. I want you to know how folks are taken captive by Satan. They listen to his lies, they become deceived, he blinds their minds, and they don't think straight. Make no mistake, please hear me right here this morning. There are those under the sound of my voice. You're making wrong choices. You're involved in things you shouldn't be. Amen. You can think you're thinking straight, but you're not. Your mind is in the stupor of Satan's lies and deception. He has blinded your mind. That's how he takes you captive. He affects your thoughts. Secondly, amen, we see the captivity of Satan from the word snare. A snare is just an old word for trap, but it was a particular type of trap. It was a noose. It was a loop that was laid out in the trail of an animal that is the prey. It's a noose that when it is triggered, it immediately grows smaller and smaller and tighter and tighter. It's a noose that often came with a bait, something that was attractive and looked harmless to the animal that was the prey, but always that noose was put in disguise, put in the path of the intended prey. I want you to know Satan has nooses, and he has one for each individual. He doesn't put them where they're easily recognizable. He puts them in the path. He knows you're going to be taken. He disguises it, and he baits it with something that you inwardly desire. Hallelujah, there is a snare. I don't have time to pause, but I'm going to. I so like the psalm where the psalmist said he has delivered me from the snare. But not only did he deliver me from the snare, he broke the snare. I'm glad I serve a Christ who can deliver you from the snare and break the snare that entraps you. The third word that shows the captivity is the very name of our enemy. He is the devil. I tell people this all the time. If you translate the word devil, it means accuser. Accuser. Satan is an accuser. He will look at you and tell you, accuse you of not even being saved. He will accuse you to you. You don't matter. You're worthless. You'll never be anything. You'll never have victory. He will accuse you to you. He will accuse others to you. He will tell you others don't love you. Others don't care for you. Others aren't interested in you. He will accuse God to you. He will tell you God doesn't care. He's a slanderer. He takes people in bondage by his accusations. You're too bad to be saved. You're too wicked to be forgiven. Amen. But I want you to know he's a liar and the father of every lie. Can you say amen? The language of our passage is a language all through Scripture used when God's people Israel had sinned and they were taken in captivity by their enemy. In fact, over 30 times in the Old Testament, it said of God's people that they were carried away captive. In Amos 4:2, it describes it a different way. It says, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks. With hooks. Amen. Way back in one of my biblical background classes of archaeology, we looked at pictures pictures of reliefs that they had carved into stone of how the Assyrians and others, enemies of Israel, took captive when they conquered a nation and they wanted to lead them away. They would literally take a hook and hook it through their jaw and tie all the captives together. That's what God was talking about. He said, you wouldn't listen to me when I told you that was sin. You wouldn't listen to me when I told you that would destroy your life. And there'll come a time when your enemy will put a hook in your jaw and lead you into captivity. Oh, how many times has that happened to God's people? Even tied up and bound, amen, into captivity. Hallelujah. God met his people to be freed, not captive and not carnal. Amen. Having laid what's going on in this verse, let me quickly tell you the cants of a captive. If you are a captive, you can't decide whether or not you will be taken captive. You can't do it. Amen. Otto freely chose to go to North Korea. That was his choice. He could choose, and he chose to go to North Korea. But once there, he had no decision to make over whether or not they were going to take him captive. It was in the minds of those government officials to make him a prisoner, and he was powerless to stop it. Listen to me this morning. With sin, you can choose that, but you can't choose whether or not it takes you captive. Jesus said, this is his word, whosoever sinned is the servant of sin. You have no choice in that. You can choose what your sin is. You can choose the sin which you do, but you cannot choose whether or not that sin will take you in bondage, because it will every time without exception. Amen. It's just the fact that Jesus says you can choose to drink alcohol, but you cannot make a choice whether or not that drink will one day control you. You can choose to drink a Budweiser, but you cannot choose its effect upon you, the intoxication. You can choose to drink, but you cannot choose what you're going to do once you are drunk. And you can choose to drink, but you can't just choose to quit when you want to. Same thing with drugs. Same thing with pornography. You can choose that sin, but you cannot choose whether or not it'll take you into bondage. There will come a time, though you had not realized it before, there will come a time you'll recognize you are a captive. You can't leave that sight. You can't quit drinking that. Amen. You say, how will you know it? It'll happen if you ever decide you're going to quit. You'll find out you're captive. Whenever you decide you're not going to go to that site anymore, you'll find that you're a captive. Amen. It's just like a dog, and I'm not meaning to be insulting. It's just an illustration. It's happened with me. Take a dog that's new to you. Amen. Drive the stake in the ground, put it on a chain, chain its collar. Amen. It's just as happy as it can be. It never knows it's chained until you walk off to leave it and it tries to follow you. It never knew it was chained until it tried to go somewhere, until it tried to leave where it was at. Even there's folks that boast, there's nothing wrong with this. It doesn't harm me. It doesn't hurt me. Even, but it's sin, and they never know that they're bound until they try to leave it, till they try to get to God, till they try to get to meaning, and then they found that they're controlled. Amen. Secondly, you cannot control what the captor does to you. You're at their mercy or their lack of mercy. You just can't control it. Amen. Otto Warmbier, he had no control over the awful things those captors did to him. Even his forced confessions. Amen. I'm not finding fault in him for any of his confessions. They were forced confessions. He had no control over that. Even our scripture says Satan takes them captive at his will. Once a captive, you're under the power of the will of the captor. Amen. I've had young people tell me through the years, I had a family member that was the first one to tell me that. Walked away from church, went to talk to him, and he said, I've done what the church wanted me to do. I've done what parents wanted me to do. And for now on, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to live my life the way I want to live it. I've heard that through the years. But what is interesting to me, in every case, somebody tells me they're going to do their own thing. Amen. Why is it they end up doing the very thing that Satan uses to destroy their life? If you're doing your own thing, why is it the same thing that the devil wants you to do? I'll tell you why. You've been taken captive. And when you're under his capture, you only do what he wants you to do. You can choose your sin, but you cannot choose the consequences of that sin. It's not just the act of being taken captive. It's what's done to you, amen, as a captive. They said that when Otto was arrested by the North Korean forces, he even kind of smiled at his friends as they took him off. It wasn't just being taken. That can be harmful, yes, but it's what they do to you in the captivity. Amen. You can't choose what the captor will do to you. There's so many people, if they had a choice, they would never allow those awful things to happen to them. But they were a captive. Amen. Last, though there's many of these, you cannot choose just to walk away from captivity. Don't you think that Otto Warmbier, if he could have, would have walked out of that cell, would have walked to the airport, would have walked on a plane if he could have. I know he wanted to go to North Korea. That's another story. I don't find him fault with that. Find fault with him over that. He was young and adventuresome. And he went. He chose to go. I know. But once he was taken captive, he could not choose just to walk away from that. And I want you to know there's emotional and spiritual and mental, physical bondages just as real. There are things that can get a hold of you. You can't out self-control. You can't overpower. You can't outfight. You cannot escape. You cannot walk away from. There are things that can get a hold of you that no amount of willpower is going to beat that thing, because you're a captor. You're a captive of the captor. You're in prison. Amen. After the first time he told me this, I've shared it several times, but I had a close friend that was a youth pastor dealing with a young man that had been in church, and the young man began to drink and do drugs and got horribly messed up in his life, horribly bound in his life. So my friend, the youth pastor, went and picked him up, got him in the car, began to talk to him. The young man began to weep. I've made a mess of my life. I'm addicted to this and that. And then he began to tell my friend, he said, but as of tonight, I quit. I quit drinking. I'm going to quit drinking. I'm going to quit doing drugs. I'm going to quit being illicit. As of tonight, I'm going to quit. And my friend, the youth pastor, he looked at him and says, no, you're not. And it made the young man angry. He said, what do you mean, no, I'm not? I just told you I'm quitting. And the youth pastor said again, no, you're not. And the young man said, how can you say that? And the youth pastor says, because you can't. You can't. You can't quit. You can't stop drinking. You can't quit carousing and being here. You can't. Amen. And then my friend Big told him, the only way it's going to happen is if you surrender your heart and life and mind completely to Jesus. If you allow Jesus to have control, he'll do it through you. Only with him can you do it, because he'll set you free. Oh, hallelujah. No wonder Paul said, thanks be to God who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. You can't just walk away from the darkness, but you can be delivered. Hallelujah. It means something. He can set you free. I don't want you to leave here hopeless. If you're on drugs, he can deliver you. If you're on alcohol, he can deliver you. If you're bound by fear, he can deliver you. If you're bound by rebellion, he can deliver you. Amen. Hallelujah. Just because a captive can't doesn't mean he can't. Last of all, here's some cans of a captive. As I prepared this message, I thought of real life people. So much captivity, so much strong captivity, so many captives, so many people doing the will of Satan. What can be said to all that bondage? What hope can be given? How can things be any different? Well, let me give you some cans. If you're a captive this morning, you can come to yourself. You can come to yourself. You can recognize and admit that you are a captive. I took the time to tell you at the first of the message because I knew I would encounter it here. But if you look at that verse one more time, Paul said that they may recover themselves. Come out from underneath the intoxication that has dulled their minds and caused them to think erroneously. I just preach you cannot do that on your own. I want to tell you of a very powerful force of this universe. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And when Satan has you thinking all wrong, the Holy Spirit can begin to move upon your mind and heart, begin to show you things, reveal things to you. And the Holy Spirit can help you recover from the wrong way of thinking. He can help you recover from the mind that's in a stupor. And suddenly you can see clearly what Satan has done to you. Oh, there's no greater example than that prodigal son. How low did he go that he was feeding the swine? Amen. He had the tattered garments on, a result of his wanton lifestyle. He had tried all the things of the world. He had drank, he had partied, he had womanized, he had outran his money. And now he's in the pig pen with the stench and the defilement and the shame and the hunger and the bondage and the chains and the fetters. But there in that pig pen, it says, and he came to himself. Make no mistake, the Holy Spirit was involved in that. The Holy Spirit was working. He came to himself and said, what am I doing in this pig pen? Oh, I had it better in my Father's house. I had it better when I was living as his child. How would you know? You think your loved ones are hopelessly bound. They don't think straight. They don't see straight. They don't feel. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit that can find them in the pig pen and deal with their heart and mind and wake them up and bring them to themselves. Can you say amen? Amen. Secondly, you can call on God. I was going to illustrate this and didn't take the time to get their props. But listen to me. They can bind your hands. They can bind your feet. They can chain you to a chair. And you can still call out. You say, wait a minute. What if they gag me too? They may. But there's an omnipotent, all-knowing God. That even when your hands are bound, your feet are bound, and your mouth is gagged, from your thoughts and from your spirit, you can call on him and he'll hear you. I said he'll hear you. Oh, hallelujah. You don't have literal chains or a literal gag, but the thing you're in, you can't even say the prayer out loud. I want to tell you one thing that cannot be taken from you is your ability to call on God. And I've got great news. I've got a great promise. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All bound up, gagged up, but in your heart you start saying, Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need you. Jesus, set me free. And here he comes. He takes off those chains and bind. He ungags you. And pretty soon you're not just saying it in your thoughts. You're saying it out loud. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, and he will. He'll hear. He'll have mercy. Aren't you glad you can call on God? The promise to Israel was that when she found herself in captivity, that she could call on God and God would hear. Let me tell you something else you can do as a captivity, as a captive in captivity. You can walk away and leave your bondage when he gives you the opportunity. I told you couldn't do it on yourself. But when he gives you the opportunity, you can walk away from the prison. You can leave what binds you when he gives the opportunity. I'll tell you why. Because he can open a door that no man can shut. If he says go free, you're going free. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm not meaning to be insulting, but I've seen it. I've seen it with animals they're trying to set free. It's been in a cage so long, they think that that's it. I've seen them open the door of the cage wide up, try to coax them out, encourage them out, and they won't come out even though the door is wide open. How many seen that? Amen. I've seen people like that. I've been in services, Brother Cecil, where God moved with his spirit and walked down their aisle and opened the door, and yet they sat in the bondage. I've seen where the word of God was preached right to them and right to their need, and God opened the door and they sat there in bondage. I want to tell you something. If he has opened the door, I don't care how bound you think you are, how hopeless the situation, when he comes to set you free, oh, go ahead and get up and start walking. You're coming out of that. You're walking out of that. You're leaving that chain. For whom the Son has set free is free indeed. It's not hype. It's not emotionalism. Amen. It's not just a high moment in a service. It's a reality. When the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. You can walk away and leave it and not go back to it. One of the strongest chains that Satan has to keep people in captivity is to tell them they can't be set free. That's one of the strongest chains I know of. It's stronger than alcoholism itself. It's stronger than drug addiction itself. It's stronger than fear itself. It's the lie of the false accuser to tell you you cannot be set free. It doesn't matter what the bondage is. If you think you can't, you won't. I'm going to tell you that's a lie of Satan. Jesus says that you can. I said Jesus says that you can. Last of all, you can know that God can and he wants to set you free. Amen. In the back of our minds, listening to Satan, we look at our problem and think God doesn't want to set me free. God doesn't care. God, I've sinned so much. God has washed his hands of me. He doesn't want to set me free. I've got great news. Not only does he want to, he can and he will. It's Satan that says he doesn't want to. Oh, hallelujah. Maybe I'm preaching to no one in the building. I feel I am. Maybe I'm not. But maybe somebody will listen to this message on the archives. Hopelessly bound by Satan. A young person who has come to themselves and realize they're already at the age of 17. Bound by sin, can't get loose. I want them to hear me this morning. Jesus can, Jesus wants to, and Jesus will set you free. Don't listen to Satan who says you can't. Don't listen to Satan that says this is what your life is, a life of bondage. Oh, can you praise him this morning? I'm this close to being done, but I got to show you something wonderful. Our verse has showed us that it's not just a power, it's not just a force, but it is a person who takes his bondage. Do you see that? I want everybody to see this. It is a person that takes his bondage. It's the devil. It's not just alcohol, it's the devil. It's not just drugs, it's the devil. It's not just illicit sex, it's the devil. It's not just fear, it's a person, the devil, that sets us free. I want us to get that, or that binds us and takes us captive. I want us to get that, because by the same token, just like it's a person that binds us and takes us captive, it is a person who sets us free. Oh, hallelujah. I read the passage about Satan. Now let me read the one about Jesus that he read of himself at the introduction of his ministry. Amen. He reads from Isaiah that talks about the captives, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." Don't stop. "And he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." Don't stop. "And to preach deliverance to the captives." I said, "To preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Oh, it's a person that will set you free. This is from Isaiah, a direct reference when those people of God with hooks were taken captive in a foreign land, even away from their country, away from their temple, away from the presence of God, even made to work as slaves. Amen. They got so sad, they hung their harps upon the willows and said, "We can't sing. We've lost our song." This was first applied to them. God spoke through Isaiah and said, "My people are captives, but there's coming a Messiah, a deliverer. And when he comes, he's going to preach deliverance. And when he preaches deliverance, somebody's going to hear it. Somebody's going to believe it. Somebody's going to be delivered when he preaches deliverance." Oh, aren't you glad a person sets us free? It is he that sets us free. Would you come, music? Oh, hallelujah. Amen. It says, "And to set at liberty them that are bruised." I should leave that out maybe for time, but I'm not. That don't make sense at first. How was somebody bruised in bondage? They're hurt, they're wounded, they're not in bondage. Mistake. Some of the worst bondage is the wounds and the pains that others have done to us. That's some of the worst bondage. But God didn't miss it when he sent Jesus. He said, "Jesus is here to free those that are bruised by the pains and hurts, by the molestations and the abuses." I said, you see, the world only sees those things as an abuse, which they are. But God sees them as a bondage of which he wants to set people free. Oh, hallelujah. I'm talking about freedom service. I'm talking about somebody can walk out of here free. They can have the experience Brother Brad sang about. Free from sin, free from darkness, free from fear, free from Satan. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Amen. One more verse and we're done. Wherefore, Paul said, "He saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men." What does that mean, captivity captive? It means Jesus has conquered what conquered you. Jesus has taken captive what took you captive. It's like an old kidnapper. A kidnapper gets a hold of a young person and he gags him, and that kidnapper binds that person. Amen. Binds them all up. But when the police get there, not only do they free the one that's kidnapped, the very thing the kidnapper did to the kidnapped, the cops take that kidnapper and put him in those shackles, those handcuffs, bind him up, put him in a prison, and shut the door. I'm telling you, God's not only able to set you free, he'll take your captor and bind him and put him in fear. In fact, he already has at the cross of Calvary. That's where he has set the captive free and taken captivity. Oh, hallelujah. Would you stand so I can quit? I want you to listen to this. I don't have one. I don't have a dog. I've only heard people talk about this. But one of the new great things is those invisible fences. You can't control your dog. Don't have the money, time, inclination to want to put a fence around your property. You get an invisible fence. You used to have to bury a wire. You don't have to bury a wire. Just wireless today. You set the limits on that thing. You put the transmitter or the receiver on a collar on your dog. And I may not get this just right since I don't have one. But when that dog gets to the perimeter, he starts hearing a sound that's warning him. If he ignores that warning, amen, he goes a little further. I think they used to shock him. I don't know exactly how they do it now. Probably still a shock they don't like. Don't have any thoughts of trying this on your children. That's abuse. But if you were just not knowing the circumstances of that home or that pet, and you were watching, you'd never hear those sounds that dog is hearing. You'd never feel or see the evidence except the results of it. You wouldn't see what was hurting them to make them stop. But the bondage is there. And I want you to make no mistake. This morning, we don't see everyone's bondage. Because Satan's learned, and for some folks, he has invisible fence too. Remember, your family doesn't even know the bondage. Come on, church. Your friends don't even know the bondage because they can't hear what Satan's saying to you. And they can't feel the pain of your heart. But you are in invisible bondage this morning. I want to tell you, your friends can't hear it, but God hears it. And your friends can't see it, but God sees it. And He wants to set you free. Only thing I know is to preach the good news. I preach it this morning. He has come to open the door for the captive. Right now, all across the building, if you would like to be set free, I want you to come to this altar. We use these steps as an altar. You need to be set free. Don't hesitate. Would you come right now? You say, I want to be set free. Amen. I know that's an omission. I know some don't want to admit that. Amen. But oh, there's such deliverance when you come and call upon the name of the Lord. Would you like to be set free this morning? Would you begin to come? Hallelujah. Would you begin to come? That's it. This is the altar call. You just say, I have a bondage I want the Lord to set me free from. I have a bondage I want to be delivered. Not tonight, not tomorrow. I want to be set free. Amen. Are there others? You'd be honest and come right now. You know God has spoken to your heart. Amen. You say, I want to be set free this morning. What about, are there any young people? You just say, oh, I want to be free. You say, I'm not in bondage. Well, go ahead. Go ahead. Try to go ahead and come if you're not in bondage. If you're not in bondage, go ahead and lift your hands and weep and cry and glorify God and rejoice in His presence. Amen. Amen. You want to be set free? He's here. You listen, that's Satan whispering in your ear right now that you can't be set free. I'm telling you, he's a liar. He's here. Jesus is here to set you free. I want the church to begin to come. Amen. If you're bound, come with Him. Find a place to pray. Amen. Seek His face. Let Him set you free. Let Him deliver you. Pray for these that come. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
God can deliver you.
He can deliver you.
I know.
I know.
His word is true.
Oh, His word
He'll
is true.
He'll do what He said He'd do.
Oh, would you call on Him?
He'll
this
break every chain. God can set you free. No matter what the case might be, He'll give you liberty. Just call on.
Amen. Don't leave here bound. You don't have to. You can know
now
freedom of heart.
It does not matter.
Freedom, joy.
To God, where you are.
No, sir.
Or what you may be going through. For He holds.
Oh, let Him set you free. Don't leave here bound.
His hand. that he cannot do. God can deliver you.
Oh yes,
I know.
Oh yes,
his word is true. He'll do what he said he'd do. He'll break every chain. God can set you free, no matter what the case might be. He'll give you liberty. Just call on his name.